We're continuing in our subject of biblical mental health. It's important for us, especially dealing with our minds and thinking. There's so much today. If you read studies and stuff concerning people, you start finding out how many people, I mean, they do surveys, and it's amazing the amount of people, their minds are messed up. I mean, they know it. They know their mind. They just did a thing with Democrats. And they found that 40% of them, they think their mind is messed up. And 60% of them, you know, felt that their mental health and stuff is not as good as it should be. And so, but see, the whole thing of it is people get over into thinking. They live in a world where all the time they're on edge and they're in a fight over all the time of everything. And we need to be very cautious about this as Christians, because I see Christians do the same thing. They're in a battle. They're in warring all the time of people and things. Instead of, you know, taking the gospel and having joy, they're fighting about all this stuff. They're always worried about what somebody else thinks. You know, I was thinking about this because just how we operate in our nation. You know, people listen, like, say, what we say, conservative news and liberal news. The conservative news people say about, well, the liberal news media, hardly anybody listens to them. They don't realize that millions and millions and millions listen to them, because all of the conservatives do is tell everybody what they're saying. If we wouldn't tell them what they're saying, nobody would know what's going on. And people wouldn't be worried. One of the worst things we have is conservative news. It's one of the worst things for us. Because all they do is, I never listen to CNN. But if I go to conservative news, they're telling me what the CNN people are telling all the time. Well, in other words, I'm listening to CNN. You know? It's like one guy said, they have a big radio show, and he says, you don't have to listen to these people. We'll tell you what they're saying. And I thought, well, I ain't listening to you. Because I don't want to know. I know what the people are thinking and what they are, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to take my mind and focus on those things. Because you can't focus on those things and really love those people. You'll never do it. You want to see them off the face of the earth. You won't care if they go to hell. You won't care what happens to them. Because you just be angry all the time with stuff. And so you have to watch. You know, it's one of the things is and I learned from Kenneth Hagin, sometimes it's good to not to know what people are doing. So when you do pray for them, you don't have these things that are in your mind about them. It's best to not know. And I know that sometimes, you know, people talk about, you know, sometimes God reveals certain things to me, and I think, boy, I wish I wouldn't know that. But I just, you know, because you think about people, but sometimes it's for our own protection about stuff. But still knowing things about people. And there's a lot of people are nosy and gossips and everything else. They want to know, well, we can accurately pray. I don't have to know everything to accurately pray. Amen. I can pray in other tongues for people. I don't need to know a thing about it. Amen. This whole idea that I can accurately, you know, I got to go find out what's wrong with me medically so I can accurately believe God for healing. Oh, if you didn't have a doctor, you'd just go and die because you wouldn't know what to pray for. Because you don't know what to... I mean, we need to get this nonsense. This is not mental stability biblically. It's not. And so... Last week we were in the book of Colossians. We had been over in Ephesians, but we went into Colossians. And we started off into the first three verses in Colossians, which we're going to go over again tonight. But we're going to go into the third chapter there. It's really an important chapter for us as believers. And Colossians, Paul wrote that. That's a church at Colossae. And the information that he gives them is to help them. And he says in verse 1 there, he said, If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And we talked about seeking things above is seeking what the Word of God says about who and what you are in Christ Jesus. You know, and get this from yourself. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You need to think of yourself in that matter. You're a new creation. Don't think yourself. See, if you don't get into the Word... what happens is many people, they get born again and live out their entire life a lot like they did generally in life. They may not do as some of the bad things that they did before and that, But their thinking never changes about who they really are. They just say, I'm a forgiven, you know, sinner. Oh, great. That's all you got? Well, you didn't get much.
Right.
You know, Israel, they could get forgiven. Boy, didn't it turn out great with them. And, you know, we became new creations and getting those things into our minds. So he tells us through the things, we're supposed to seek those things which are above. And then he says, what do we do when we seek those things? Then we set your mind on those things. The things which what? Those things above, not on the things of the earth. Now Kenneth Hagin used to make statements about it, and I have a sense of what he meant by it. He used to say some people are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. I've run into people like that. They get sort of flaky over there. They can't relate to who and what they are to help people hear. But most people, they're more earthly minded. Most Christians are more earthly minded than they are heavenly minded. And they aren't any earthly good. They mostly think on this plane here. They don't see them. They're not taking somebody to some place up higher. If you're not, don't see yourself as up higher, you can't take them to where you're not. Remember what we looked in there, you can't go any further. Jesus said you can't go any further, your teacher. So, I mean, that's the way it is. So it says this in verse 3, we talked about, because the scriptures we had looked at in Ephesians where it said, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. You know, you think about the concerning, because we're going to go in here, then he talks about, important statement here, you died. Start thinking about that you're dead. There's things that you are dead to. The Bible says, you're dead to sin, the Bible tells us, but you're alive to God. You're dead to sin. Think about that. Do you know what? The average Christian you'll talk to, they'll talk more about, you know, they know all about their, from a physical standpoint, all of their weaknesses and frailties and all of that kind of stuff. They are alive to the sin and their mistakes. They are not dead to it. It is more important to them, those things, than the life of God in them. And see, if you're dead and your life is hidden in Christ with God, think of yourself as dead. I'm dead to sin. Not that I'm alive to it. It's like I've said so many times that, you know, people, well, you know, we're a Christian, we're just going to sin. What they said, I'm alive to sin. I'm alive to sin. Sin is always going to come and, you know, mess me up. This is what's going to do. They're not dead to sin. They don't say, you know, I'm dead to sin. Sin no longer rules over me. The Bible says it doesn't. It doesn't rule over. You see, the way we think is the way we say, and therefore that's what we have. If you can't change the way you think, you can't change the way you talk.
Amen.
And the way you talk, you're going to get it into your spirit, and you're just going to keep bringing that to pass. You'll just keep bringing it to pass. You'll keep yourself on a plane that's very low and not successful in your Christian walk. You know, and you guys probably found out this weekend, there's many people out here, they're looking for something.
You bet.
Yeah. And nobody's offering them anything. Mm-hmm. You know, Christianity, all he offers them food. Mm-hmm. They aren't offering. These people need help. They're messed up. They know it. But they don't know what they don't know. They don't know what to do. This is where the preaching of the gospel. We preach the gospel to them. People out here, they want to hear something better. If not, a lot of people are watching and listening, like say with MSNBC and, you know, CNN and those kind of things. Now, you know, they have very low ratings. If you take over 350 million people in our nation, or very few people watch them. Which means they're telling news stuff of the way people think. People aren't thinking like they do. They don't think like they say. You go out here in this world, a lot of people ain't thinking. Even if you go over on the conservative side, a lot of people ain't thinking like they say we're thinking. They don't even know us. They're not in contact with us. You know, they go do a survey. They just go out and talk to 200 some people and they take Ed and put him in their number. Hold it. I didn't talk to any of you. And see, we look around. Washington's run by polls. It's not run from people. They don't listen to you. They don't care what you say. We got a poll. And so our polls, we don't have our polls geared to what we think is good and what we think is right. You know, you look at a poll. You know, I was interviewed for polls over my lifetime, and I always found it interesting. The polls were never interesting in what I really thought. They had their specific questions, and I was only allowed to answer a certain way. I said, well, that's not the way I think of any of that. I don't think of anything you. You're not interested in one. I don't do polls because they're not interested in me. They're interested in coming up with something that gears to what they want to bring out and they want to move. That's what it is. So I don't pay no attention to poll people. Poll people, poll, goodbye, go do something else. I already got, Jesus Christ polled me, and, he has a book here about the way to think, and this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. So, and so keeping ourselves over there, this is one thing, because we're dealing with our minds. And this is really, as Kenneth Hagin said, the number one thing that Christians need, and he made this statement, number one thing Christians need is a renewed mind. That's the number one thing he said in the church. Renewed mind. The way people think. And always do with it. This is where I'm always constantly, that's my venture, is to renew my, making my thinking in line with God. Constantly, that's what we're growing to do. To think like he thinks. Because, number one, you can't take a wonderful Jesus to people if you really don't know what he's like.
Amen.
See, it's one thing, I've gone through years ago, they have these courses and you go through how to witness to people. And I never liked any of them. Because it was a canned thing to take to somebody. You go out here among people, you need to have an experience with God yourself. Not what somebody else says, well, you just tell people this and you get that. No. You need to, because if a person stops and you tell them, well, God loves you. Well, tell me, what's he done for you? Do you have a witness? Or you're just making a quote from a book? They can do that. But see, when you have something in your life, you have an experience. You're out there doing what you do because of who you know. You're not out there because we're just trying to, I'm just Jehovah's Witness. God ain't done squat for me in 47 years. You want this book that we got, and tells you, and all. And no experiences with God. I have never, ever, and I have witnessed to them. I've been around them over the years, talked to them. I never, one of them, could sit and talk to you about experiences with God or anything. They're just a religious thing going and spouting off things that somebody else said that the Bible don't even say. And they'll say, we believe the Bible. Well, as me, first thing I do is take people to the Bible. Okay, you said you believe the Bible. Well, here's what the Bible says. Oh, well, I didn't know that was in there. See, why? And I just blunt with them. Your people don't believe the Bible. You just told to go say that. But that's not what you do. Your leaders stand and tell you to go tell people that. But you don't do that. It's a great book, but you don't know it. It's a great God, but you don't know him. You can't run into him. I remember two ladies I talked to, and they said, do you believe God could live in you? Oh, no. There were two Jehovah's Witnesses. And I took them the scriptures, and I said, Paul, we're at the church at Corinth. He said, don't you know the Spirit of God lives in you? I said, well, he must not live in you. You don't know about it. The father said, God lives in people. And he said, well, we weren't taught that. Well, I said, the Bible said. They said, well, we're going to have to go back and talk to our people. I said, why would you talk to them about it? I said, the Bible says it. I said, I'll tell you what they're going to tell you. They're going to give you a big line. That ain't for you. Because I said, they don't believe the Bible. They don't have nothing to offer you. And see, people need to know. They're wondering around. People don't have answers to things. And if you got some answers, and especially you got a life and God's shown up, you're definitely a different kid in the block. Sinners know if somebody has something or they don't.
Yep.
They know it. They know if you got something or not. They'll pick it up quick. Christians have the tendency to get together and play the game with each other. Well, we're this and we're that. But that isn't really the experience of their life. That's not who they are. They don't have experience, And we need to know this. As you know, we have a lingo. People have a lingo that they talk among each other and stuff. And they have that lingo, but when they leave church, you don't talk that lingo. It isn't their life. You know, we're around each other. We have this, play this game. No, this is a lifetime thing. It's a whole lifetime thing. It works out every place you go. I don't find a place where, you know, I say, you know, boy, don't need Jesus here. We can just... we can do something else. Hallelujah. Now, in verse 4, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. Now, if you go back and read the second chapter, and you go read into this third chapter, and this verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. People take that, they always go to this, well, he's talking about when Jesus shows up, and we go, I don't believe that, because it does not fit the context of everything else that's written. It don't fit the context of it. What's he talking about? See, if you set your mind on things above, Jesus is going to show up in your life.
Amen.
And you know what? See, we're supposed to have glory in this earth. You know, we pray the Lord's Prayer, God's will done on earth like it is in heaven. You think there's any glory in heaven? We're supposed to have it here in the earth. We set our minds on things above. What you and I want here in this earth is glory revealed here. That's what we want. And this is why, the more I can renew my mind, the more I can yield to glory from above. Christ will appear. The appearance of Christ isn't I get to see him, but he manifests himself through his presence, through manifestations of the Holy Spirit, things and manifestations of how God operates. That operates. Jesus. That's Jesus Christ's appearance in the earth through the church. Gifts of the Spirit and all those things are manifestations of Jesus Christ in the earth through his church, who is called Christ. See, the church doesn't identify themselves as Christ. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth about being Christ. We're Christ. There is no more Jesus in the earth than the church in the earth. So Jesus wants to manifest his glory through his church in the earth. He will appear and manifest and show himself through the things Scripture says he will do. And so we need to, that should be our great expectation, is the renewing of the mind is Jesus Christ appearing in us, revealing himself. He becomes real. The Holy Spirit in us is not a thing just said. You know, he's a person of the Godhead and he lives in you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. No matter where you go, he's there. That person of the Godhead is inside of you today. What we want that Godhead to do in us, we want him to manifest or appear. We want him to show up, to take what belongs to Jesus, reveal it to us. If it ain't revealed to you, you can't reveal it to nobody else.
Right.
So, see, putting on this kind of... See, this is the above thinking. This is the thinking of you're a new creation. This is the new thinking. You don't think of yourself. You're not an ordinary person. God lives in... God, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of you. How can we keep thinking of ourselves as just, well, I'm just, you know... Well, you know, I'm just... I'm not nothing special. I am!
Amen.
I'm special.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All those years he had this class called special ed, and here I was the whole time, the real special ed. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So, now he says this, because of this, because of who and what you are, then he makes this statement, therefore put to death your members. Now, what's he talking about? Your members. That's your body. That's dealing with your body, your flesh. What does he say? Put to death your members. In other words, see, if you know who you are, you have the ability to put to death your body. In other words, your body being dead to sin, you can put it to death where it does not dominate you. Understand this about sin. Sin is the reason of sickness and everything else from the natural realm, that anything that causes problem, anything that deals with a curse. You see, if I can put my body to death and not let it dominate, then I can walk in the glory. I can walk in healing. I can walk in blessing and prosperity. I can walk in it. If I put to death my body, if I keep letting my body rule and reign, well, you're just going to sin and you're just going to, it's going to rule and reign and you are going to pay a cost for it.
Right.
The flesh never has a good payday. The spirit does. Your flesh will always want to do so. What do? You put it to death. In other words, you have the ability, if you're setting your mind on the things above, you'll say to the flesh, you know, sit down, shut up. No, we're not going to do this. This is not what we're going to do. We're going to act this manner. Put it to death. And he says what they are. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, why? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience, he's talking about, these are the sinners. He's talking, you're the church. Here are the sinners. You shouldn't be acting out, you shouldn't be acting out these things. Why? That's what the sinners do. That's their stuff. That's how they live in the flesh. You don't.
Amen.
You don't. See, he says, put those things to death. You set your mind on the stuff above. The sinners don't have their mind set on the things above. They are the sons of disobedience. I know. I was a son of disobedience. Mm-hmm. I sure knew how to disobey.
Amen.
I was the son of disobedience. And everybody who was not born again is a son of disobedience. That's what they are. Their flesh dominates and rules their life. That's not for the saint. The saint is to have glory. And so, what we don't have the... We won't want the manifestation of the disobedient. We don't want to have that. Now, there's many Christians, you know, they're born again. He didn't tell them that, hey, if you're not walking right over here, that you're a son of disobedience. See, there's Christians that walk in the flesh. You know, they're born again Christians. No, you know, if they die, they go to heaven. Now, they ain't going to get no reward when they go there.
Right.
But the whole thing of it is about those individuals is they live in this earth like the sons of disobedience. You know what? And they're thinking, well, I'm forgiven. Yeah, but you ain't got no glory. And you'll never have any glory because you set your mind on the things of the flesh instead of the things of the spirit. See, most people are trying to do this. They're trying to bring their body under and they never renewed their mind. You can't do it. It's a useless war. It is a useless war to try to bring your body in line with thinking. When you're thinking fleshly thoughts, trying to do it through the flesh instead of through the power of spirit. Get your mind changed the way you think. And you know what happens? It's amazing. You're not fighting to quit things. Things seem to fall off. Things,
Amen.
You know. You can't change your desires if you can't change the way you think.
Amen.
Can't change your desires. You know, I've heard people say this all the time. Well, God will give you the desires of your heart. Yeah, He'll never say to give desires of your head. See, many people say, well, I desire this or that. Yeah, it's a fleshly desire. Well, you think, well, it's nothing bad about it. Yeah, but it's fleshly. It's not going to produce because it's not coming from your spirit. You can't bring things to pass just because you say it out of your head. Faith's of the heart. Faith comes out of your spirit. So the renewing of the mind we get is because of our spirit. What's on the inside of us gets into our thinking, in our mind. The Word is spirit in its life. The Word is not some natural thing.
That's right.
You know, you pick up a textbook of something else or study. That's the natural side of things. The Bible is not that. It's not a textbook.
That's right.
It's the Word of God in its life. It's God's life given to man. And if we'll operate in line with that. He goes on and said, in which you yourselves, he said, once walked in when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man who is renewed. Now listen, here's the new man. The new man is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is what the Word of God does in your spirit, the new man. The Word will do this to you. You put it on, it says, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. See, the more you go into the Word of God, the more your inner man becomes like the image of the God who created you. That's how you do it. It's by the inner man. It's not by the head. What you want is that guy to be able to dominate, to bring his knowledge to your mind, rather than the outside, your flesh, bringing the knowledge to your mind.
Yep.
That's what many people do. They allow outside things bringing them up. They measure the things of God against the things against the outside. They determine through outside things what's true and what's not true, what seems right or don't seem right. Anything that God says that they don't understand, they yell against it and yell against this stuff. Why? Their fleshly mind. Their fleshly mind operates against it. That's what it does. It's their flesh. They measure their fleshly line. God's not true. God's not true. See, because I'm the judge. I'm God. Now you get those people, they say, no, I'm not God. I'm sorry. If you've determined a way of your life outside the Word of God, you declared yourself God. Because now you're the God of you're determining. So now you have become your God, whether you want to admit it or not. And anybody say, well, I don't consider myself God. Well, then who's in charge of you? Who can dictate your life to you? Who can do it? Well, you'll find out. They never have somebody else dictate their life. They're determining what's right, wrong, and good. They decide those things. And, well, you know, my friends are doing this, so we're doing that as long as my friends do it. If they don't become my friends, I'll find new friends that do things I like. But the whole time, they don't see themselves as them. They're trying to be God over their life. I found out I was God over my life for 30 years, didn't do well. So I gave up on that one. I just said, we ain't going there no more. That one's done. So we're putting on this new, he's renewed in homage to the image of him who created him. That's what the Word will do to you. It'll get your inner man full of the knowledge of your Creator. And you get full of his knowledge, you become more like him. You're more like your daddy. You're more like God. Don't expect, you know, the more you become like God, don't expect most people, even Christians, to understand you. Because most people don't know what it is to be like more like God. Well, he goes on to say here, he says, this knowledge, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. In other words, there's no more of this junk about, well, you know, I'm a this and I'm a that and I'm somebody, you know. There's no more racism. There's no racist or racism in this knowledge. People and Christians who are tied to races are not walking in the knowledge of God. In Christianity, there is no races. If you want to play race stuff, that's carnal. That's over in man's side, over in the flesh. In Christ Jesus, the new creations, there is no race to them. There is only one race.
Amen.
That's it. There is none. People want to have their race thing. I don't care if they call them Christians or who they are. I'm sorry. The Bible don't have it. He just said here, there's none of that here.
Amen.
There's none of that. There is no place in the Church of Jesus Christ for anybody who wants to be whatever they were born as. I was born as a child of God in 1980. I changed all my race. There is no other race in the Church of Jesus Christ. There is no race. And see, we need to get down this because we have been drilled with this stuff and drilled with this racist junk that is nothing but demonic and leads separation between people. That's all it does. You watch it all the time. You go to churches and, you know, they're all this one group. They're all that one group. They're all this one group. And everybody wants to have their just one group. You know, we're this and we're that, you know. We're over here with this. And the church just separates it all itself out. And they try to act like this is God, God working. Ain't God working in none of it. It's man's doing. You know, I want to keep you comfortable in your race, so we're going to have a church that ministers towards your race. Then we're going to minister towards your race. And then we're going to minister toward. And you know what? They don't get together. They don't. Why? They ain't Christian. That's no body of people built together that the Bible talks about, a house built together. No, it's all separate houses. It's designed to be like that. It ain't God, but it's designed like that. And who do you think's the designer? I know you don't get popular talking like this kind of stuff. But then it's Bible, and it ain't always popular. I'm sorry. There's good, bad, and ugly in every race.
Amen.
And today, there's a lot of bad and a lot of and people don't say, they get around and, oh, you know, we're special. Somebody did something to me. Everybody had something done to them. You know, community and stuff. I grew up in schools and stuff. People treated people and did stuff and they did things. And we always had to pay a payday for all. I mean, this is nothing but evil and the devil going to sea. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And all the ministers that jump in on it, they're just Lucifer's boys. Bringing division into this stuff. Now there says now here, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Listen to this. Therefore, you're what? You're the elect of God. Do you realize you're the elect of God? You're God's elect. You know, God had a vote and He voted you in. You're the elect of God. See, your position in the body of Christ has been elected by God. And you're in it. See, why live on a low level out here with all this other nonsense and stuff going on in here? See, Christians are elect of God. Does it sound like if we separate ourselves with race and all this kind of stuff, that we're elect of God? We're elect of God, and He says, holy and beloved. Well, do you consider yourself holy? This is what happened. You go ask most Christians if they're holy, and there'll be very few will ever admit. They'll go, well, I make mistakes. That's where they go right away. You know what? They're on a life of unholiness. They will never change from it. They're holy, never admitting it. They will talk, and therefore the problems they have will dominate and rule their lives. Will dominate and rule. You're holy and beloved. You know most Christians, what they do? They're living their lives trying to get God to like them. I'm going to do this and He'll like me. I'm sorry, He likes me when I'm dumb. He don't change. I'm beloved. That's why when I mess up, I can go boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Why? I'm beloved of God. So you get this. This is Paul talking to these people. This is that true about you? See, when you read those kind of things, don't just go pass over them. People just pass over this stuff in their reading. What's important gets passed over all the time. Everybody will look on them. Well, I'm trying not to fornicate. I'm not trying to do this. I'm not. Did you know you're holy and beloved? Well, yeah, but I'm trying to. Live in the light. These are wonderful, gracious. You know, they're words of grace, aren't they? So he says, what? What's this? Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also forgive him. So go ahead and start churches in your own race. Now, he goes on and he makes this statement. This is really the key to any of this. And here's a thing that people don't do. People get born again and the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts. But people are darkened because they live in the flesh. They never respond to the love of God in them. They don't respond to it. They can only like people who do what keeps them happy. And they can only like people that can... They look at people on the outside. There's too many people they don't... He says, but above all... Now, so all that was said here about putting on, this he says is above all the putting on. Okay, you get on in the morning and you get up, you put your britches on, you put your underwear on, you do your thing. He says, no, but whatever you do, you put on. You put this on. He says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So we have to put that on, whether we want to or not. You know, say, well, I, it's a bond of perfect. Yeah, but I'm not perfect. Well, if you don't ever put on love, you'll never arrive there.
That's right.
Don't eat. See, this is what people do. They measure. Again, the first thing religion does is measure itself against that. Instead of saying, I'm going to put that on, it'll help me overcome. No, I must not have that because I'm messed up. See, the love of God is shed abroad. You know, you can't actually, from the standpoint, you can manifest more love through your life, but you can't actually grow in love. Now, I heard people say about you growing in love. I'm sorry, you can't. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. God's love don't grow. It is what it is. It's perfect. You have perfect love in you. You couldn't have perfect love in you if it's the bond of perfection and you say, well, I don't have perfect. Well, you have to have perfect love. It's the bond of perfection because it's God's love. And it's something, again, understand this, you have. It's not something you're trying to get. This is why studying the Word and looking at the Word says what you have. You have love. Now, what you have to learn to do is respond to the love that's in your heart rather than your flesh, which wants to do something else. You respond to what you are. It's already in us. We can love the unlovely. We can love them. We can love people that, you know, do things. You know. We have a choice. We have more than enough power that if, you know, somebody does something against me, I don't have to hold it against them. I don't have to hold it against them. It's the love of God. I mean, think Christ. If Christ, the Bible tells us that Christ, that God reconciled himself to the world, that's the love of God. God is reconciled to every sinner. There's not one sinner in this earth that God is not reconciled. But he says this, what? Paul wrote, went on, if you keep reading, he said, be reconciled to God. See, that's what we must do. God's already reconciled me. God's not holding, was not holding a thing against Ed for 30 years. But you know what? Ed didn't, nobody ever told me that. I didn't, because I went to churches and they talked about, you know, like God was marking things down, Ed was doing. The whole time, the Bible says this. He wasn't holding any sin against me. He was not holding any. So therefore, he wasn't marking them down. That's all a lie. What they do is they quote Old Testament scriptures. I'm sorry, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that thing changed.
Amen.
Jesus took the sin of the world, and when he did, 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years before I was born into the earth, he had already done that. So, see, we need to put on that thinking. His love has been shed abroad in your heart. It's already there. It's there. You're not trying to attain it, you know. You know, we need to grow in love. No, we just learn to act in love. We need to get the wisdom of God. Renew your mind to the love of God in you. Listen to what's in your heart, and your heart will reveal to you the love of God that's in you. The Holy Spirit, the great teacher's in there. He will surely help it. And that's what he says. Verse 50, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to let peace rule in our hearts. See, people are trying to have peace. No, let the peace of God that's in you rule. You let it rule. Many people, see, what everybody wants is peace on the outside. There's never going to be peace on the outside. There's always going to be wars. There's always going to be people doing bad stuff. That doesn't lead to any peace because you're trying to walk in a natural peace. There is none. They cry, peace and safety, and sudden destruction comes. See, the world's living in a place. I have peace because on the inside of me. See, I'm holy, I'm beloved, I'm the elect of God.
Amen.
You focus on those things. I don't matter what people's going on and out here. God's looking after me. He's taking. I'm in the secret place of the Most High. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
What good is all of that if it ain't working when things are going bad? It's worthless and it ain't worth spit.
That's right.
See, you got to renew yourself in the way you think when problems come along. How am I going to think? What's in my thinking that's going to be set in motion here?
Yeah.
You see, this is many times with Christians. When they go to praying, they're completely offline because why? They haven't got themselves over where they're thinking about God and who they are. They start praying like they're trying to get God to do something for them. Why? Because they have never renewed their minds. So they're thinking, you know, they don't know, hey, God's going to take care of me. It's all right. Instead of going and say, be thankful. See, try to be thankful. God, I just want to thank you. See all these lousy things that's going on around me and happen. I just want to say thank you. You're taking care of me. No. Oh, Lord, help. I'm going to go under if you don't do something for poor old me. No, I'm sorry. He did it all for you. You're elected. Hallelujah. You're beloved of God. You're holy. See, man, I want to thank you for making me holy. I'm just so thankful for that. You're looking after me and these things that are going on. I'm so glad that I have you to trust in this time. See, that's where they're, be ye thankful, be thankful. See, most people never get thankful till they see something good happen. Then they go, well, I'm thankful God did this. I want to tell you what, 99% of Ed's thankfulness goes when things don't look good. Why? Because I know good's coming to me, so I don't have to get over on a big deal about that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now in verse 16 he says that, listen what he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ, look, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ, how's it supposed to dwell in you? Richly. Well, it couldn't dwell in us richly if we ain't getting into it, see? We take the time here, and just like with here, study. We take the time to get in the word and let it richly get in us. So there's going to be a payoff for it.
Amen.
You need to understand this with people. The average Christian is trying to get what people have who let the word God dwell in richly. And they think they're going to get them, you to pray for them and it's going to happen to them or this and that. If they don't become and get over and start getting in richly, we might be able to help them some, but it'll never keep going.
That's right.
They have to get the word of Christ dwelling in them richly. Mm-hmm. If you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, all the things that we looked at here are all the things that will work in your life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's rich. Listen what he says. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
Sound like a pretty happy bunch.
Yeah.
Really sounds like the church today, don't it? What we know it is. Here's the one thing. You can know this. The word of Christ is not dwelling in people richly. You see, when you read these things, take your time to read. This is not a novel. This is God's words talking to us. How important are each of these words to you? Are there some we just skip over that are not quite as important? Now, we take the time to look at, you take the time. This is a very rich thing. This is a thing, oh man, this will help you out for trouble. This is the things that will do. End result. Man, we're singing, we're having a great time. Stuff's going on the outside, but we got it.
Amen.
God's in us, working in us. We're the elect of God. We're holy and beloved. My God. Ain't this good? Our mind's set on the things above, not on the things of this earth.
Amen.
You see, all these things here, these wonderful things. You know, I can put these things on. I have to be able to. If I can't do this, then God is a liar and a fraud. Demanding of us something we can't do, that's unrighteous. There's nothing righteous or holy about that. Because we can. His word will empower us if we will do these things in it. We put words, set our mind in the right direction. He didn't say, do all these things first. No, get your mind set in the right direction. Then you can put this stuff on. If you don't, you're going to keep trying to put this stuff on. And you know what? You're going to feel like a failure. You're going to try through your mental, physical thoughts, trying to do what it requires the power of God. Grace is God's ability that works in us to overcome. You need grace. There's power, which is God's power. There's different kinds of power. There's mental power in this earth. People use mental power. They're saying, that's not what we're doing. We're using God's grace that works inside of us in our spirit to empower our minds to think right. People through earthly thinking, and oh, you know, they're going to do all these different things. You know? Well, you'll be limited on what you can do. He goes on in verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So see, all this, you accomplish this thing, kind of things, it's God working in you. So give God the thanks for it. See, this is why many people, you find very religious people will do this. They always pray. They'll praise themselves on the things that call. I'm alive. I can do this and I can do that. Well, I'm sorry. If I'm able to accomplish, it must be God, because there's one thing about it. I know for 30 years I did not accomplish good. So if I got born again and if I'm accomplishing doing anything right, it must be God's working in it. And you need to stay over in that area, because if you want more grace, then treat the grace that you got right. Give God the thanks. And He will give more grace to what? The humble. Many people ain't humble. They never thank God for the abilities they have in their life. They don't thank God for their ability to do their jobs that work good. They never say, Lord, I just want to thank You that You've given me the ability to do a good job at my work. They never thank God. They always praise their own abilities. I'm good at this and I'm good at that. No, thank God, it's God's working in you.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And give God, and don't, you know, I'm going to tell you what. I tell you what, it's a vicious circle, because I have seen this work. The more I'm thankful toward God and His working in me, the more He works in me.
That's right.
He does. Why? His ability. It's designed by Scripture that that's the way it works. If people don't get more grace working in them, it's because they're not gracious. And they are not gracious toward God. They are walking in things as their ability, their smarts, and their whatever. Hallelujah. Thank God, for the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. My God, You holy bunch. Hallelujah. You got elected into the office in which you stand. You know that? You were elected by God. He never asked anybody else's approval. He don't care what anybody else thinks about it. If they don't like what you are and what He's put you in, tell them. If they don't, you say, you need to talk to God about it, because He did this.
Amen. That's right.
If you don't like what He voted in, tough.
Amen.
So you want to talk bad about God? Go ahead. He's the guy that did this. He had the election, one man election. Woo!
Amen. That's right.
Glory to God, it's good. Glory to God. And just to read a couple of scriptures here, Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace abounds? He says, certainly not. He said, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You see, get these revelations in you. Get them. Don't let these scriptures are not given to condemn you because you miss it. That's not their purpose. It's for you to take the thinking of, my God, you know, I don't have to be dominated anymore. I can still remember the day I was standing in our kitchen, just gotten saved. Wanda wasn't saved yet. She thought her husband was crazy. Because all of a sudden, the Lord said, do you know you don't have to drink anymore? And I said, mine. I said, well, you're right. And I started taking all my booze and dumping it down the drain.
Hallelujah.
And Wanda was sitting there, she told me, she said, I thought he's crazy. What's he doing? He's all that money going down the drain. Ain't like we had a lot, you know. I had probably more tied up in booze than I did. But anyhow, but see, that revelation, you know what?
Yeah.
The revelation came, it didn't take a thing for Ed to change. The power was in the revelation. That's why most people never get a revelation. They never listen to their heart. They never get a revelation. They can't change. They don't renew their minds. The Lord, when the Lord spoke those words, He said, do you know you don't have to drink anymore now? My God, I don't. What a wonderful, to me, that was a wonderful revelation.
Amen.
And so we want to walk in the light in that regard. We had read this before in Romans 6:11, and it says, likewise, you also reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Consider yourself dead to sin. When you talk about sinning yourself, you need to start putting it on your mouth. I consider myself dead to sin.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, it don't do a lutch to believe that if you don't put these things on your mouth. They'll never really register. And you know what? The devil and people will try to get you not to do it because they don't want you to get paid. Most people, and the devil for sure, wants you to stay in his camp in your thinking. And many people don't want you to get above them. They think you're getting above them. They can go as far as they want, but they stay in their little area, and they don't want anybody. Don't go further than me. Don't go any further. No, you consider yourself dead. The Bible says that's what you reckon yourself. That's what you consider yourself. I'm dead to sin. Not, well, I'm just going to sin. Is that reckoning yourself? No. There's no word in the Bible tells you to say what the church is saying. They don't tell you to say it. But yet the church is walking around with their big mouth confessing these things. Don't say these things. Look at what the Scripture says about you. And you say it about you. Mm-hmm. Put it on your voice. Implant it in your own spirit. You don't need the preacher to do it. That's how I get things in me. I say them into me. Now see, it's one thing is I get, and then I come here and I teach these. Now see, I say them in me before I get here, but then I come here and I say it publicly. I'm confessing the Word or confessing Christ publicly. When I confess His Word, I'm confessing Christ publicly.
Amen.
So I come, I confess it in my life, then I confess it publicly. So let's do that. Let's set ourselves in that direction. We're going to stop there tonight, but it's a wonderful place of Scripture here in those. It's like in 2 Colossians, also a good to look in there in the second chapter down through there, but this is what the Lord wanted me to share with these. But it's these things about us of who and what we are. Man, you can set your mind on things above because you really are above. God views you as above. That's the way He sees you. So see yourself in that manner. Quit viewing yourself in the light of your failures, your mistakes, or whatever it is in that. Mm-hmm. Quit viewing yourself. Start viewing yourself in the light of who you are. Don't be surprised. You start acting very differently.
Amen.
And you're going to find this, it's going to be a great help to other people.
That's right.
It is. It's going to be a big help to other people. To start seeing you. This is one thing as I've learned over time. If I want to change and hook into a direction, I start working on my spirit first. I look at things, I start talking a certain way. Sometimes I spend months talking a certain way. Get myself prepared to make a move in a direction. Why? Get my spirit so when I'm ready to move, I'm in line with what my spirit's doing. Sometimes you just have to, you have these thoughts over here and they're eating. You've got to get those thoughts out of your mind. You've got to get the right thoughts in there. Get you right. Because if those thoughts come, you immediately bring them to a halt. Say, no. That's not, this is what the Word says. This is the direction we're heading. You know, I thought about, because I listened to Kenneth Hagin, one of his older series on confession that he did many years ago. But he talked about in this thing about confession and saying things. And he made the confession. And see, a lot of Christians have a hard time with this. But they don't understand. It's a man over years concerning healing. Is back years ago, they had the Asian flu came to the United States. And he was ministering in Los Angeles at the time, in the Los Angeles area. And they said that there was two 2 million people in the Los Angeles area have the Asian flu. And he said, I was teaching at a church. And he said, after a while, he said, the one morning session we came into teaching, he said, there was only 6 people there. And he said it was himself and the minister, the pastor of the church who was at. There was 2 other pastors and there was 2 other people there. And he said, after the church, I taught just a regular Bible lesson like I do. He teaches like, he would do morning sessions on faith and things. And he said to this thing, and then this one minister said to him when they were all sitting talking, he said, Brother Hagin, he said, aren't you worried about getting the Asian flu? And Brother Hagin looked at him and said, I will tell you this, I will never have the Asian flu. Now see, 99% of Christians, they get nervous. And you know what? If you're nervous about that, you can't say that. And you can't keep it off of you. You need to understand this. You see, he didn't make a statement from bragging. He talked about it. He said no. He said when he made that statement, the pastor of the church that he has just been teaching in for a couple of weeks has been sitting under his faith teachings in the morning, said, come up, whispered to him and said, I would never say that. The devil might hear you. And he said, when he said that to me, I said, that's the exact guy I wanted to hear him. He can't put that on me. Mm-hmm. You see, we know very little about boldness of speech. We talk about, I'm trusting God to be healed. I'm trusting God not to get sick. If you're trusting God to get healed, you're going to, if you need healed, then you're going to be sick because you're going to need healed. Now, these are areas of our mind we don't think in. We get caught over, we have a lot of natural. And like when he made statements like that, people would get all upset about that. Why? Because they had earthly thinking. They didn't understand. He's basically, you know what? He never got the Asian flu. You know, and he said, you know, people say, you know, God sent that for a purpose. He said, God didn't send it. He said, we know where it came from, Asia. God didn't send it. You know, COVID didn't come from God. Came from China. But the church doesn't realize how much our minds think in ways wrong. See, when I first came in the kingdom, you know, it was like, well, you get sick, you get healed. But all of a sudden, I started listening to Kenneth Hagin talk, and I thought, God's given this man a revelation. He don't talk like other people about this healing stuff. He does. I found out he's teaching divine healing. You'll find very few divine healing teachers. They teach get sick and get healed. That's not divine healing. See, we want to walk in divine health. Keeping stuff off of us. That's what you want to do. You keep things off of you. Wanda and I learned about this, keeping stuff off of us. Flu comes along, we don't get it. I'm sorry. I don't get the flu. I ain't having it. I don't get it. I'm not being... It's God's word. It ain't it. I just believe it. But you know, number one, I ain't scared to say it. This is why you need to get stuff on your voice. Your voice becomes, needs to become bold in your speaking. You need to become bold and you see what the truth is. You need to start saying it. I don't care. I said things when it didn't seem like it was working at all. But I'm going to tell you what, it works now. I kept saying it till I built the guy up on the inside and he told my mind to shut up. This is the way it's going to be. And my body said, yay! So that's what you want to get to. Don't be afraid to say. Don't worry about what people say. Get to the point that what God says is more important than what everybody else around you thinks or says. Amen. It's more important to you. And you'll find out those things will become your life.
Amen.
They'll become your life. You know, they always used to say, you know, and they still do all this stuff, you know, all sickness and disease, you know, they go through the schools, you know. If you're going to go to school, you know, you're in a school, you're going to get sick. Well, Wanda, did you get sick? No. She's in school and everybody else is sniffling and puking and everything else and pooping and everything else going on. And she ain't. And you know what? They all noticed it too. You don't ever come up with this stuff. You don't ever do this stuff. And you know what? A bunch of them are Christian and they still got it. Being a Christian, don't stop it. It's how you think.
Amen.
Have you renewed your mind to the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you talk the right talk for your mind's sake? Mm-hmm. You must. You start talking. Right. This is not criticism. I'm just telling you how to go to a place further.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Preach.
You know, I didn't get there overnight. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I kept at it.
Amen.
Till I began to dominate situations. I began to dominate them. They didn't dominate me.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the point the devil can't steer me with sickness and disease. I don't get scared.
Amen.
Anybody scared, it's him.
Amen.
But see, don't get afraid.
Amen.
Not afraid to boldly say things.
Amen.
See, sometimes I talk things and I realize a lot of people, they just, I mean, it's like a switch turns off in them. Christians. Say the word, people, but a switch will get turned off. Yeah, he's gone. They don't realize God's trying to say something to them to get them out of the ditch they're in, and they say, no, I'm staying in the ditch. Pray for me. Waste of time. They're going to get sick. They're believing for it. They wouldn't say, I ain't having that. I'm not putting up with that. And it's amazing what you can do because that boldness, I mean, it turns God on. He'll empower you. The more bold I get about these things, the more empowered I get. See, people want to be empowered by saying weeny things. Calling it humility when it's not, it's stupidity. Don't do that. Say them. Don't be afraid. I don't care if it looks like a truck ran over you. I just refuse to have this. I ain't going to put up with it. I don't have this stuff. This don't belong to me.
Amen.
It ain't mine.
Amen.
Well, I tell you what, I'm catching a cold. What do you want to catch it for? Let it alone. It's like I'm catching flies. Or, you know, like, what on earth are you talking about? Get the swatter out. Nail that thing. I'm catching a cold. Well, I have this or I have that. Tell me how you're going to believe God to get rid of it when you said you have it. It belongs to you. When you said you have it, now it belongs to you. No, I don't have that. It's trying to play games with me, and it came to the wrong dude. Say, devil, you're going to have to give it to someone else, and there's plenty to give it to. They'll buy it as soon as it comes. See, but you came to the wrong house. We're not doing that today. You know, we don't let any salesman come to the door sell us anything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you because, Lord God, it's your greatness in us. I just want, Lord God, these things that rise up, Lord God, they're your great working. Lord, there's no way I could have this mind or this thinking if it had not been for you. Lord God, I didn't learn this wisdom from man. Man didn't give it to me. Hallelujah. It came out of your glorious word. And I thank you, Lord God. That, Lord God, that people have preached and taught this word and revealed this wisdom to the church. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for hearts to hear. For, Lord God, minds to understand and comprehend. Lord, that wisdom would flow like a river. Understanding, Lord God, would flow like a river for people. Lord, to step in to a new era, into a new time, into a new place. To walk in a place, Lord God, that truly the glory of heaven is revealed through yes. man in the earth. Lord God, just turning things upside down. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, Father, without your glory, it's just us trying to do things. We need your glory because, Lord God, men need to see glory. They need to, Lord God, be touched by glory. They need to have something happen to them outside of the wisdom of men and how smart people think they are. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we're smart because the smart one lives in us. Hallelujah. We have the mind of God that is given to us, the great Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for being so patient and kind to teach us and instruct us and give us wisdom and understanding. Father, thank you so much for it. And Father, we recognize we're not walking down here and doing things on our great ability. It's your great grace that works in us. Your power and your glory revealed through us, Lord God, that causes us to overcome and to help others overcome. In Jesus' name, amen.